You'll turn to your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. If you'll turn there, this morning's message, the measure of a man, the measure of a man, the measure of a man. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, ladies, this is for you too, but this is going to have the man context to it, but I'm sure you'll glean the truth out of it that's necessary for you as well. Praise God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Father, thank you for the Holy Spirit today, as there is so important that we hear from you today. I would hate to think that we would have come and heard a sermon and gotten the form without the power. Jesus, I would hate to think that we can get in and dive into what we call the Word today and miss the Word. And you are the Word. You are that eternal. And we need to hear from the Holy Spirit. Father, I want to pray that today this would highlight for men, for some of our men today, some of our fathers today, what it is that they measure themselves by, how they measure themselves, Lord, and that it would bring a correction course to whatever it is, the standard by which we measure ourselves that's outside of what it means to truly measure ourselves aright in the eyes of the one who created us. Lord, you gave us life and breath. We should be able to see ourselves from your perspective. Lord, all of the challenges that come into men and the ladies today, that the kind of culture we're living in today is trying to redefine what we are, who we are, and why we are. And I praise you, Jesus, that you have, through the Holy Spirit, the message today to help us. Lord, I'm grateful that for most of us, maybe many of us here, that we have heard and we know and we have a sense of how we are to measure ourselves. But Lord, when we are off course, we lose that sense. And Lord, a lot of things get out of place at that moment. And I praise you, Father, for the confidence that comes from the Holy Spirit bringing the right kind of correction today. Lord, I want to praise you, Father, for the encouragement that comes with challenge and change. Lord, today, fathers, Lord, some fathers need this in a very desperate way. Lord, maybe not even with us in this moment, but need it anyhow. And we're going to praise you that the Holy Spirit will find a way to minister to men the message that men need to hear. We love you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. So how do fathers measure themselves? We cannot measure ourselves the same way we measure other things. So I have a few illustrations today. I hope I might be able to pick one of you from my audience. So here's one thing we use to measure with, a measuring cup. Measuring cups are used for certain things, but not everything, right? Men, can you imagine getting out on the construction site and using a measuring cup to measure boards and trying to get things straight on a house? This would not be the right tool. But I wonder if in life we're using measuring cups when we should be using measuring tapes. When we should have a different tool for measuring, different standards of measurement, and we're using the wrong kind. And just the other day, I had Sarah, she was with me, we're trying to work on a project together, and how many of you just love a young lady who's willing to learn how to work on small engines, right? And guys, you know what I'm talking about. I have some sockets in there, and we have standard sockets, and we have metric, and trying to teach her some of the differences between them and how to use them. So our measuring system even helps us with tools that we use, sockets, those kinds of things, and we'd never be good at what we did unless we used the right thing. I wonder how many men today need this word because you've been measuring yourself the wrong way. Here's another thing that we use, and this fits men. This should be a common household tool in every home. Even the ladies have this. Men, we would call this our tool, but still, the ladies are like, we use this, right? And there's no way that you can measure liquid with it. This is still only for measuring certain things. But I think that this is a really important tool when you need it for the right thing. And then we have something else, and you might not think of it as a measuring device, but it is. And this is a gauge. Now, this one in particular is for measuring backflow devices in, say, sprinkler systems and things like that. Now, I know how to use this. I know what it's used for. How many one else knows how to use a backflow gauge? So I'm not going to lead you through the class, but man, would we have a good class. I'd have the right kind of students if I was doing that. But there, this is one thing that you can't do without when it comes time to measure or gauge pressure. Differential pressure with this. So this is a needed device, but definitely none of these can replace one another. They're instrumental in what they're for. And so I wonder today if I might just have somebody, is there anybody who would be willing to be my helper for the moment? Ryan, you're right here with me. So I want you to imagine something. I want to do a measurement of this man. I don't want to measure his height necessarily. I just want to get a measurement of the man that he is. So let's just see. Let's start by measuring Ryan. Well, from my measurement, it looks like Ryan is a pretty good guy.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah.
We continue to do some measurements, and we would find out that he's a guy that prays. And we know that Sparky here is a great dog. Mm-hmm. So when we measure with this, can you imagine trying to measure this and get the estimation of a man's character? To understand, is there integrity in that guy? Can I measure out and find out with this tool integrity? Wouldn't it be nice to have something just that simple? I can just measure out today where men are at, where fathers are at. But what I would say we probably measure ourselves more by is, there's different things we would measure, but we would measure ourselves by the standard. Say that fathers today would measure it based on how their kids have turned out. I'm a good father because my children have turned out well. But wouldn't that be a wrong kind of marker in many situations? Because a lot of fathers have done exactly what they should have done. Now, to perfection, no. But every one of us that live in this body know that none of us are doing anything to perfection. That doesn't mean to live a life of actual degradation and for self-centeredness and living for yourself and your own ambitions and think that your kid can grow well in that environment. But we've watched God turn around children. And imagine that, this guy that's lived so for himself, self-centered, there's no union to Christ at all, but yet his kids turned out well. And then we measure that father based on the outcome of his kids. We'd be missing something, wouldn't we? We would be missing something. If we use the wrong standard to measure ourselves, it is no better than it would be if we tried to measure liquid with a measuring tape. Just wouldn't work well. Now, it might work a little bit if you have a puddle and you're trying to see how deep it is, but that's not what we're talking about, is it? If you are honest, then you will see, and everybody here today, you will see that there is probably at least a few ways, that you measure yourself not the way God wants you to. And it's time for you to change that. It's time for you to change that. Some of us would measure ourselves by how much we pray. I've heard people, this has been long in coming, but you know, whenever you face a pastor, it's as if he's the top of the prayer chain, right? And so if we measure up to him, and so a lot of people, they just realize in their own mind, I don't measure up as far as my life of prayer is concerned. But that usually is a bigger cry than just, do I pray? Because I know that most of us do not want to live a religious life where all we look like is that we have a form of godliness, but there is no actual godliness there. There's no connection to the Creator. There's no life-sustaining union to Him. It's just we are living life as if I look good on the outside. But we measure ourselves because in some sense, people look at you and they think, you're a good person. You go to church on a normal basis, or you don't go to church hardly at all. And we measure it on those kinds of standards. Now, I'm sure there's things that it relates back to, but the reality is that's not good enough, and that's not right. And that's using the wrong tool for the wrong measurement here. So I want you to turn to verse 12 in 2 Corinthians, and then Caleb, if you could put that up there on the overhead. Chapter 12. Did I say 2 because I meant... I mean, sorry, chapter 10, verse 12. Because if I said verse 2, I meant verse 12. If I said chapter 12, I meant verse 12. Okay, whatever I said there, that's what I meant. I want you to look at these verses. As a matter of fact, I would admonish you today, go read through the whole chapter of chapter 10 and just catch the truth here. So here's one of the ways that we measure ourselves, and men do this especially. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. Now, I'm one of those guys, I don't know, maybe there's a few more of you out here, but I'd say I don't like to start a brand new job, especially one that I've never done before. So when I started doing landscaping, it just felt like I didn't know anything, felt like I was in the way, I felt that I was stupid. I had certain feelings that came, and I was measuring myself based upon these guys that had been doing it for a while, that when they started, they looked no better than me, most likely. But men, we have a tendency to do that. We have a tendency to try and judge ourselves by somebody who looks more successful at the thing that we're trying to do. Some of us, we actually measure ourselves based on that we choose not to get involved in something that looks like that, feels like that. Some of us will say the reason why we stayed the job, and I mean, definitely I have great admiration for guys, ladies, all of you, who stay the course and have worked only a few jobs or 20 years in the same profession. I mean, that's awesome. I mean, we watch young people today and they can hardly hold down a job for more than a week, much less for half a lifetime, right? But sometimes if you really look beyond that, the reason why you were one of those steady men is because when you measured yourself by the standard of I hate for others to look at me like I don't know what I'm doing, you decided that you were just going to work that one job so you never had to face the reality of looking like that. It's just some of those ideas. The idea is to get it mixed in that we're classing ourselves and comparing ourselves to others. Now, I would say this is extremely hard in any case because the reality is we need to get God's view on where we are in life. Now, I can imagine if we're not just talking about not praying, but we're just saying, you don't hear from the Lord. Let's just say somebody here is listening to me and say, Pastor, I don't know. When people say, listening to God, I really don't know what that means. I really don't. Now, imagine whoever that is, and I'm trying to say to them, you need to measure yourself and you need to do it rightly, but you can't hear from God? That's a failed hope. So what we would do is we would encourage. We would do whatever we could to help build the conviction wrapped around your goal in life right now. Your one goal that you have to sustain is find out what the voice of God really is. You have to know that, or you will be measuring yourself using the wrong thing. And you will do that the rest of your life. And some of us don't have longer to do that with. The reality is that even if we're young, there's no guarantee that you're going to live another month, another year, or 2 years. We live life as if we got a long time here on earth, but today is the day of correction. Stop using this when you should be using this. Use something different. Use what God has given to us. And I'm hoping today that with what I share with you, we'll lead and speak on that issue. But godly fathers and godly men do not compare themselves with other men, or do not need to. Let's just say that. Because the measure of a man has nothing to do with the qualities of other men. Can you guys say that today? Who I am and what I am is not based on other men. Now, I know, because I've had times where I'm like, this guy is way more successful than me, and I don't want him to look at my life based on his where he's at. But I got to get over that. I got to get over that because Jesus doesn't judge me based on how much money I have, how nice of a car I've got, how well my kids look in front of me. He's not based on the job that I have. You know, one of the things I think, there's men of high integrity that put too much emphasis on their jobs because their job is how they measure themselves. There are Christian men that are living that way of life. So we don't need to do that. Jesus set us free from measuring ourselves by the look of another man. Some of us just got in the gate. This is the first time we had a vital relationship with Jesus. And then we've got other guys that have been walking with Jesus for a long time. You're not supposed to look like them. There's no way that God has discharged or created a miracle that will put you in spiritual graduation that fast and that soon. But we can feed off and admire what God has done in the aged brothers and sisters in Christ that are more mature. Now, I'm going to say that's really important. Because just because you've been going to church for a long time doesn't mean that you've measured yourself rightly all that time you've been going there. But isn't it appropriate to say that once we start measuring things right, it turns out right? And there's this old saying that over and over again they used to say when we were doing some construction work was, measure twice, cut once. Why did they say that? Because the measurement was crucial. And the cost of material is worth it. Now, how many of you know when you get in the construction zone, they seem to drive fast as long with accuracy. Be accurate and be fast. Sorry, partner, if you want me on the job, I'm just either going to be either fast or accurate, but you're probably not getting both with me. Right? But you may be using the right tool. You may have the right standard, but you're falling short of the mark. Now, I love this because we can have this in one of two things. We can look at the product and say, by the product, I'm not doing right. Or we can have the master builder tell us, this isn't right, and this is right. I like this in verse 13, and this is going to be a really important key verse here as we think about this comparing ourselves with others. Verse 13, Caleb, if you would put that up, please. Verse 13. Thank you. We, however, will not boast beyond our measure, but within the limits and the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. We will not boast beyond our measure, but within the limits of the sphere which God appointed us, a sphere which especially includes you. So if we're not comparing ourselves, then we don't need to be boasting about ourselves either. I believe godly fathers don't need to compare because God anoints each man differently. So I was pretty good at doing irrigation in some phases of landscaping. I was not great at all of them. I was not professional quality at all of them. But I can guarantee you that I am not a good medical provider. I have no experience in that field. So why would I compare myself? Why would I look at myself or have to boast about where I'm at because I'm good at what I do, when in comparison to you or anybody else, God gave you a different appointment and a different gift? Now, if we had the same exact one, I might have some reason for, and I might gain some pleasure or some pride in the idea of my accomplishment if we have done life together, we had the same amount of time, we had the same class, it's all about the same thing, the same appointment, and I just was a grade higher than you. Right? We might get something out of that, but I think what Paul's saying is, in the grand scope of the reality, is God has never given anybody the same exact tools, and he's never appointed them to the exact same cause as you. He's putting you in a different sphere, and so what he's given to you is highly efficient for what he's called you to do, but not for me to do. So we have no need to get into that sphere, but believe me, men still haven't gotten that one figured out yet. Guys are still struggling to get that one locked down. I love it that God has given me specialized talents. Our calling and gifting make us unique because he designed us to specialize in that calling, but not to compete over it. Not to compete over it. I've watched years in ministry, and this is one thing I think is really important. Some people have an expectation of me, and I've done it to other pastors, where it's like, you should be good at leading music, you should be good at preaching, you should be awesome at praying, you should be great at being able to be friendly to souls that are coming in, you should be able to be great at having awesome altar calls, you should be able to make sure that everybody's individuality is being honored and taken care of, and you should be able to be the man who's so in tune with the Holy Spirit that you know exactly what every individual needs when they need it, when they're not even telling you. And that's just to get started, right? I think, and sometimes we say, I don't even know if people think that, but I feel like that's what's going on. And it's a terrible way to live life. Because the reality is that what I want to do is, Lord, give me one special gift and let me specialize in that while you give me another brother and sister that's great at music, wonderful and talented at ministering to souls on the streets, that has the power of God to be able to evangelize in their life that I can't even come close to. But I'm going to team up with, and I'm going to admire what God has put in you. I'm going to love watching the Holy Spirit work in us, not expect somebody to carry it all. So I've loved this. There's people that have told me, Pastor, go home. Why? Because we've got this. You don't need to be doing it all. Well, thank you. Because sometimes I don't feel like that. And I need the Lord's voice through you to confirm sometimes what God's saying to me. Men fail at what it means to measure themselves accurately when they let their admiration for others turn into envy. Can I say that one more time? Men fail, ladies do too, at what it means to measure themselves accurately when they let their admiration for others turn into envy. Or when the honor of being gifted by God becomes some form of achievement. There's times when that spiritual lift that you have by being gifted by God's presence and his Spirit in our life can definitely feel like you're achieving something. That achievement mentality probably sits with us more than we realize, and the Holy Spirit is constantly digging at that and saying, no. No. It's not an achievement. Because as the grace of God builds in your life and the gift of God continues to harness what the Lord is doing through your life, the reason for that is to add to his glory, not to your self-esteem. But that's hard for men because we're like, then what do I get out of this? You get the blessing of being used by God. Men are especially susceptible to measuring themselves through the admiration they receive. And I don't think it's wrong to tell men thank you for what you've done. I think men need something a little bit more than just admiration. We need something. We need to be able to take that differently. For that reason, only Jesus can make us good at what we do and keep us humble at the same time. So we emphasize your relationship with Jesus, because you can get very proud at being very good. I am not very good at being proud at what I'm terrible at. But I can suffer like any other gentleman in this place. I can suffer from being proud at what I know I'm good at. And the better I am at it, the more I can do that. And admiration is something that men thrive off of. In many ways, we were built for admiration to some degree, but we weren't built for admiration by itself. So how do fathers measure up? So we ask the question, how do fathers measure themselves? But how do fathers and men measure up? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 17 through 18. Caleb, if you could put that up. Yep, he's got it up there. He's on it. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. For not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Not he that commends himself, even if he is good at it, but whom the Lord commends. Because the Lord knows the fallback. When you get boastful and proud, you tend to be about yourself, and you become more and more self-centered. And we could do this one of two ways. We could say, no more boasting. You don't get to brag about anything, guys. Just your hunting stories are over with, your fishing stories are gone, you know, all your accomplishments, what you've done in life, just no more talking about it. Zip your lips, no more at all. Or before you do that, just listen and let the Lord commend you. And so there's a huge difference from me trying to get out there and the Lord bringing it out. God has a purpose for bringing out the accomplishments of your life. Wouldn't we be foolish if we started telling men, the first thing in order is to be a man who accomplishes nothing. The less you accomplish, the more in the kingdom of God you are. That would be so absurd. It would be just like the same thing as trying to measure liquid with a measuring tape. Accomplish nothing. That is God's goal for your life. But that's not what we're hearing, but at the same time, we're not hearing go accomplish and then promote yourself. Get recognized, get known in the world. But at the same time, we can say, but what about, Pastor, when I have accomplished something, I didn't try to get recognition, but it came about anyway. Let the Lord use it. Let him use it. He has a purpose for it being shown, and it's not for your self-esteem. It's for his glory. Maybe in ways you've never even thought about before. Some guys have lived on... I've been talking to a guy over the last few months, and one of the things that he had said was that he actually thought somehow that God wanted him to never gain anything, no accomplishments, no to be known. Everything was to turn sour in his life, and he'd gotten locked down to that kind of deception. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Like, imagine this. Every accomplishment was because God gave me the power to achieve for his sake. If I can stay on that ground, I can flourish. This is how I measure up. This is how it really means to measure up. I used to think that measuring up means that I had to feel like I was big with the big guys. I had to feel like I fit in with them. I feel like I went from average to above average because that's what everybody else was. And that's how I measure up. And we contend for that kind of living. And, you know, when we were young, it was the clothes we wore and it was the sports we played. And then as we got older, it was a job you had and the income you had and the family you might have had and all of those kinds of things. And the kind of, as we aged, we just changed what we compared ourselves with. But now we come to the realization of, even if I don't have, I can glory in the Lord. Even what isn't mine, I get to glory and praise him for holding things back for his glory. Some of the most amazing things: silver and gold have I none, but what I have I give you in the name of Jesus. He didn't give me treasures and riches, but he gave me the Holy Spirit power in my life. And then when he does, I don't get to gloat about that. I just get to say that is the glory for his praise. You might know him. Godly fathers and men know how to boast without bragging on themselves. That's the key to that verse. We know how to boast. And this is what I dived into this, I just got so full of joy. Because I could see men saying, "Are you serious, Pastor? You're telling us to boast? You're telling us to get on the brag? Seriously? We can do that?" Because I've been told, my Christian culture in my Sunday school classes taught me somewhere along the lines, that's not a good thing. That's all pride when you start boasting. There's a context that I'm telling you, don't boast in that context. But there's another context that sets you free to be a man. And there's nobody better on earth than bragging than a man. There's nobody better at it. The key to greatness comes out of this verse. But he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Not he who commends himself is approved, but whom the Lord commends. Men are born with a bone to brag. When we were little boys, we started this thing. It's born into our culture. It's born into our very fabric and our blood. But God's way of sanctifying it is to let them boast about Jesus. We get to tell our testimony in its full color. We get to tell it as enthusiastic and full of heart as we want to. We just got to make sure that when we're telling that story, Jesus is getting the glory. Jesus is getting the glory. There was a man, Tom Cox. He had, and I've told this before, but I've got to say it again. That man had terminal prostate cancer. 6 months to live. He came to church, and the Holy Spirit organized a few people to pray over him, and I believe anoint him with oil, and they prayed, and the power of God came on him. See, sometimes we're missing one element. It's called the power of the Holy Spirit. We got everything else. We got the prayer. We got the form. We just need the power of the Holy Spirit. And the power of the Holy Spirit, and he said, this is the way he told his testimony. And believe me, I don't know who you are out there, but if you have terminal prostate cancer and God miraculously heals you, you're not going to be saying that in light little tones. You're going to be bragging. You're going to be boasting. You're going to be telling the world about what God did for you. And that man did. And that piece there was my inspiration for salvation. That changed me because it wasn't religion anymore. It was, this is a reality that God introduces. And that miracle changed me. So the key to greatness comes out of this verse. Men are born with a bone to brag. So I'm going to give you a definition of brag. Brag, while on one idea of bragging, is to fabricate the truth and to make it bigger than it is. No. Come on. You can brag without making it bigger than it really is. A better definition would be to tell the truth with our hearts humble and full of enthusiasm. Now, some of you may say, why is bragging important, Pastor? Like, why should there be a boast? Why should we tell it enthusiastic and build on it and build the esteem of our story and it becomes such the reality for it for us, we want to share it with the world. Why? Because it's the only meaningful way to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Nobody's going to hear the gospel when we can barely tell it, when there's not even hardly any supporting evidence of it. But when they see body, mind, and emotion involved in sharing the gospel, it shows the meaningfulness of what we're sharing. The more you're involved in it, the bigger the fish. The more you love to tell about it, the more powerful it's going to be to the person on the other end of this. So that being said, men and fathers alike need to realize Let me say this before that. Men measure up when they get an outlet to boast in ways that magnify Jesus. You'll never measure up if you don't get to boast. You'll never measure up if we have to stifle what's good in order to keep that from bad coming out. We need to make sure that you have an outlet to share your stories and to do it in a way that honors God. That's when we measure up. We'll never measure up otherwise. That being said, men and fathers alike need to realize humility is not anti-masculine. Can I say that? Can I say that in our woke culture of today, that humility is not anti-masculine? It's not anti-feminine either. It's not anti any of those things. So I want to give a definition for humility. Humility in this sense means, so when I talk about not anti-masculine, humility in this sense means unapologetically be a man and anoint the world with real masculinity. But let it be done under the authority of Christ. What makes masculinity or anything toxic is not in itself masculinity or femininity or whatever. It's the fact that it's disattached from Jesus altogether. And then you're trying to be a masculine without Christ, and you have it has no authority. That's toxic. That's where it becomes toxic. So it is life outside of Jesus that's the toxicity to our world. It is bringing Jesus into your self-centered, fleshly lifestyle, serving yourself and doing your own will, and then trying to live religiously for Jesus and not authentically. That's toxic. When the Holy Spirit isn't even authorizing the choices you're making, but you're doing them anyway, that's evil. And then we run away from people of conviction. For a sign to somebody, I don't know who you might be, but if you're the person who is avoiding being around godly people because you know inwardly something's not right, that's your first indicator. That's your first indicator. I am running the show without Jesus. That's toxic. You're into toxicity, and it's causing issues with other people. Now, you may say, being away from them is how I basically deal with that problem. No, it's not. Any more than basically being sick, deathly sick and running from a doctor is helping you. Why are we running from the source of help or the people of encouragement? Probably because we aren't ready to make the surrender that God requires. So Ephesians 4:13, how do fathers come to have a full measure? How do any of us come to have a full measure? Ephesians 4:13. Now, even if it's on the screen, I want you to turn there because these are going to be verses for you for the week. You're going to have to hold on to them. How do fathers come to have a full measure? Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Are you catching that? Now measuring up by what happens. Even when you have the fullness of Christ in your life, it's not what comes out of that that gives you full measure, it's Jesus himself. Noticeably, Jesus didn't say, I give you the way, I give you the truth, and I give you the life. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is. He doesn't give me life and salvation. You know, I think that's the problem with a lot of people in their view of salvation. His salvation is an event that happened, or the fact that I'm still living a Christian life when I could be living the old way of life. And to them, that's salvation. And it's a side of salvation. I mean, the idea that you're living in likeness to what God has done in your life actually feeds to the idea of it, but the reality is it's your connection, your continual connection and unity and your unbroken unity with Jesus and the measure that comes from him. So let's just put it this way. All of us drink out of a water source, so we open the tap, we put a glass under it or sometimes our mouth under it, whoever you are, And we drink the tap water, but we don't think about where the tap water came from. We're drinking from the source, but it's the fullness of the source that provides us lifetime supply. Can I say that? It's drinking from the source that feeds, gives us a lifetime supply. And maybe we're getting a supply, and maybe we're used to drinking from the supply, we're just not used to focusing on the source. But go back to the ocean and look at it. And it's like, and I love, you know, going to the ocean and seeing, and you're looking at, wow, look at the embodiment of water that's so vast that it's like, I know beyond where I can physically see, it's far beyond that. The magnificence and the magnitude of God. And so some of us are praying, but we're praying from the tap, looking at the tap. We're looking at what we're used to receiving, not what's bigger than what we do receive. So the fullness for men and the fullness for our brothers and sisters is, it's the source. Jesus is never deviating from that reality. So you can measure yourself mainly by, am I connected to the source and am I warmly? And we can measure it in this sense of saying, it's immeasurable, but it's more than what I have. And I can keep receiving more of what he wants for me. Now imagine this. So when we built sprinkler systems, we would build a manifold. And that meant that we had a volume of water like so. And then within that volume of water, we would reduce it down to a zone. And then the manifold, what it would do is it would have a valve for every zone. So you notice how like certain sections of water, sections of lawn get watered, and then eventually another section. Well, that's the section is what we call zones. But what we didn't do was take the whole source and water the entire lawn at once. So we've metered it down to fit a zone. So the source of water is always bigger than the zone is using. The capacity of God is greater than yours to receive. But one of the reasons why zoning is really important is you've got to think of it like this. It's not based on what you want or what you would choose. It's based on what he would choose. So even though we have this vast source called God, and we have the fullness of Christ to be able to receive for whatever we need for life, he's the one that gets to choose the outlet. So you may say, Lord, I really don't want to be a prayer warrior. I don't really want to have a family. Or who knows what you may be thinking. I want to have a vast family. I want a big family compared to small family. There can be many different ways that we would want to zone it out for ourselves. And Lord, I would love it for that the Holy Spirit would work in ways so that I could have an immense family, and that I could do this and this and this, and my kids would look like this when it was done. And imagine what fathers would do with that, right? But we're subject to his zoning, how he wants to delegate his fullness in our life. So some people are very, very discouraged right now is because they've been trying to get God to zone it out their way, and it's not working for them. And I'm praying, Pastor, and I'm seeking the Lord, and it's not working for me. That might be the reason. Because you don't discharge it from his authority and make it work just because you have a large source. So it's an infinite supply, but that doesn't mean you get to use it in any way you want. But imagine how freeing it can be to be the man who can boast about what Jesus does, is under the authority of what Jesus does, and the Lord is speaking to you, and you're hearing how he wants to zone it out, and you are now in line to every miracle, everything supernaturally God wants to do in order to make sure that that happens according to his will. So we say, Lord, I can't be discharged too soon. The devil can't have an authority over my life. I can't lose at the battle as long as I'm doing what you called me to do. But if I'm missing it somewhere along the line, or I'm not seeing it appropriately, I'm not tapping into the fullness of Christ, and it becomes about me, then that's where the Holy Spirit is working on you. That's exactly where the Holy Spirit is working on you. I want to share a few, two definitions of full measure. I could hear somebody saying it something like this. One definition might be something like this: I can look back on my life with little regret. I see a great deal of accomplishment. Compared to many, my life has been easy. Full measure for me is that God has provided my needs, and I have not suffered a great deal of want. It seems to me like a good part of the world is living in misery and dying even worse. I live in a measure far better than that. Second definition. Another definition might be something like this: I cannot say life has been easy. As a matter of fact, it has been for the most part hard. Prior to my new life in Jesus, it was hard primarily because of my sin and my self-centeredness. Since then, the hard things are just a part of life. My full measure is Jesus. I find in him what I see in nothing else. Just knowing that my life belongs to him adds a new chorus of praise when things get hard. When situations in life are really nice, I can't help but feel that they really have no bearing on the full measure, Jesus. It's two different ways of looking at this idea. The comfortableness of life, the situation that I find myself in, is how I define full measure. And I look at that as God did that for me. But I think that we should classify ourselves more in the second one, because you can't determine how God might take you through hard situations. Some Christians and brothers are truly right in the middle of God's will while you are suffering tremendously. Because here's the thing I believe. I believe the gospel is honored on both sides of that. It's honored when things are glorious and wonderful and we've had unfaded days of sunshine and it's just like life has gone wonderful, at least to a certain season. Because we can say how much, when life is good, how much we love God for his greatness and goodness and seeing and caring for us in that way. But when we see people suffering, we need another side of the gospel. We need another side of the faithfulness of God. How do you speak when you suffer? Well, I just tear down the name of the Lord. I constantly tell people how bad he is. Or are you the person who says, I retain the integrity of my relationship with him when I suffer, because he hasn't diminished his authority? He can take that away at any moment. But what others might need is bigger than what I'm going through in the moment. So sometimes there's a hard heart that says, there is no God. Look at what happens in the world. When suffering happens, there's no God. And then they look at you. Wait a second. You're not confirming that at all. You're doing the opposite of. And you sing his praises while you're in your prison. What's with that? Maybe you don't know Jesus truly. Maybe the fullness of Christ hasn't been revealed to you, and it's the only way to break the hardness of your heart to see the truth of who Jesus is. Somebody has to suffer for Jesus. And that might not be in Hawaii for some reason. I'm not sure what's going on with that. Yeah, right? Depends. When the volcanoes happen, we'd rather be here. When Jesus called out his disciples, he didn't give them the easy life. He gave them himself. Most of what we do oftentimes is try to make life easier in the name of Jesus so that you'll have less to complain about, more likely to stick around. But when you look at Jesus' disciples, they were so authentic that they were like, okay, so we don't have money. Okay, so now I'm being persecuted. Jesus hasn't changed. He said that this would happen. So let me close by saying this. Without his fullness, we will forever and always be unqualified. I don't care what tool you use to measure yourself after that, right? We can have a tape measure and a measuring cup and gauges, and we can fill our garage full of them, and it wouldn't do us any good at that point. We need his fullness. And he wants to bring us into his life, not to elevate our own sense of self-achievement and value. He wants to divinely alter us into his majesty and magnificence. Notice I said into his majesty and magnificence. I didn't say by it. That changed for me. Because when we realize the closeness that we have with Jesus is our measurement system. not what we get from it. That's how we measure ourselves. He wants to divinely alter us into His majesty and magnificence. The more we harmonize with this, we will come to have a full measure. We will come to have a full measure. And even that measuring cup can't hold what God is doing in your life. What I would love to do is encourage the brothers and sisters not to just find a format of prayer or a new devotional life. Some of you may need to. After our time together, you may need to take more time, more consistent time, just even just reading the Bible. Some of us may be in a place where I need to spend more time studying what's in these pages. But every single one of us need to be listening to His voice. We need to be going beyond the Bible itself, and we need to hear from the God who gave us this word. We need to hear from Him.
Hallelujah.
And so I would say that some of us would say, I'm convicted because I feel like I do very little of that. And I'm gotten used to. And the Holy Spirit is drawing you to Himself through that. Some of us would be like, man, my prayer life of prayer just doesn't even come close. And some of us would say, not even religion, not any of that. The way that I do my job, Pastor, the Holy Spirit is ministering to me to be a man of integrity. And there's ways in which I've done this for my achievement and approval. And in some of your lives, you'll have to do some things less. You'll have to stop doing things that make you look really good for a season until you can finally say, I'm surrendered to the Lord. I've been so trying to get people to recognize me that my job has been about recognition. And so, and I know what that struggle is, be on the job and the boss calls you up and you're like, you're the only man to do this job. And you're like, man, that approval just melts my heart. That esteem and admiration that comes from that comes running. And somebody may say, Pastor, I skip church constantly for my job because it earns me money. And one of those things that we have to think about is that really what God wants for you? I'm not going to debate with anybody. If you've listened to the Lord and you can say clearly, the Holy Spirit told me to work on that day, I'm not going to stop you from doing it. But I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, people are doing it anyway. And that's a problem. I have to ask the question, why are not more of my brothers and sisters with us as well as you do? But it's more an issue of this. Is that what the Lord wants for them? Any more than the rest of us to say, well, I come to church and I have not had one day where I didn't show up for church in the last 5 years. Well, maybe you need to not come. Seriously, what is the Holy Spirit saying? And I can tell you that whatever's feeding your pride right now is probably the opposite of what the Lord is saying to you. And so we just need to hear from Him and get that contagious blessing of the Lord, of His fullness in our life as the Lord is speaking to us. So I want to say this one thing as we take time for an altar call. The Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart about something specific. Not something in general. He's saying something specific. What is that? Can I just ask you that question? I'm not saying say it out loud. I'm saying say it to yourself. What is it? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? I might not have even mentioned it, but the Lord is saying you need to surrender this to me. Maybe it doesn't look anything like what looks good on the outside, but you know you need to surrender it. What is it? Yep, we want to make sure that it's the Lord saying it, but the Holy Spirit is stirring. I don't believe we have a service like this, and the Holy Spirit leaves us saying, that was a good message. I believe He makes it personal. I believe He has something for you specifically. What is it? And while that's happening, I just want to pray that it just comes home for you, and that your next step will be in obedience to whatever the Lord is leading you in. You might have to say no to some things and cancel some stuff. You're like, but it looked good. And some Christians are going to be disappointed with me by doing it. So what? You're going to have to give an account to the Lord. So let's pray that if somebody's feeling it, some of you are feeling like a need to come to the altar, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do so. Surrender to the Lord. That's what the end of this story is all about. And bless the fathers and the men that are in this place. Remind the guys that after service or before you leave, we got some snacks and stuff out here for you. And they're covered. If you're the first guy there, feel free to uncover them, okay? We just want to give you the opportunity and receive and thank the Lord for that blessing. We're grateful for you today. But right now, just take some time before the Lord in his presence. Father, I want to praise you for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place. If you feel the Lord nudging your heart, come forward, please. If you feel him, just say, kneel down where you're at, or even just sit right where you're in the moment. Just listen to what the Holy Spirit